All right, what's up, folks? It's your boy, Big Tommy Burns, and welcome to another episode of Beast Talks, the podcast, with your boy, Big Tommy Burns. Man, I'm over at, well, you guys know from the last podcast, I've relocated my gym and gym facility over to Smash Gym Hayward, and I'm actually sitting in the gym in a very rare occasion when nobody's in the gym. With my man, Chris Robinson, the owner of Smash Gym Hayward. What's going on, brother?
Not much, man. What's going on? What's up?
Hey, man, yeah, anytime you get together with this brother, it's going to be a good time. It's going to be laughs. It's going to be smiles. It's just like, it's like we're talking now. Right. It's been almost a month, and I got a chance to... I've just kind of got a chance to watch this brother work literally over the last month. I've heard bits and pieces of the story and, you know, just wanted to interview you and bring you on to this podcast. You've got a chance to compete at our Beauty and the Beast Strongman competition this past weekend. Won first place in the novice division and shared with him a comment that I heard somebody make about him being the strongest little man that they ever seen, you know, in a competition, man. So, so appreciate you for coming on to the podcast, bro.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, for sure.
Good stuff, man. So what did this all start, man? What is Smash Gym? How did it originate? What did it start? How did you get going in the industry of fitness?
Man, you know what? My first job, I'm 39 today, but my first
Happy
job.
Birthday.
Yeah, appreciate it. I was my first job was at 24 Hour Fitness when I was 18. I was getting paid it was $5.17 an hour. Yeah. And so 24 Hour Fitness was inside the Las Vegas airport, the McCarran Airport. It's in baggage claim. I don't even know if it's still there or not, but that was a long time ago. But so I remember, it's crazy. I got a job there working front desk. But the biggest benefit was you could work out for free.
Uh-huh.
Right? So I was like, man, that was my first official, like, I get to work out. I'm just trying everything. I'm doing the same routine every day.
Uh-huh.
Right? I'm in the gym at like 2 in the morning. Anyone you want to go to, 24 minutes you want to go to. And I'm just like young. I'm like, I'm just trying it all out. And so just seeing what fitness can do for you, just like mentally and just... Not even really knowing like the true, like the purity of the ins and outs of it, but just seeing it change yourself, right? But not knowing what it's really doing for you, like your growth and your mentality and, you know, things like that.
Uh-huh.
Just over the years, man, I mean, I've kind of been like in and out, in and out, in and out. My story is different because it's like, for most people, their story might be like more academic.
Right.
Like, oh, you know, well, I went to high school. I went to high school, but... You know, from high school, I went to college. I studied this. I studied that. I studied this.
I was about to say, I ain't go to no school.
Right.
Kindergarten, I was working out.
Yeah. No, but for a lot of CrossFit gyms and boot camp gyms, a lot of their, it's funny because for a lot of those guys, their community is what it is because it's like completely organic.
Mm.
Like maybe you're a member first, and then like you know you're helping out around the gym, just because you love the community, you love the just all that is done for you, and you're going to seminars on your own, and you're kind of like taking other classes, and you're going to different gyms, shadowing their coaches, and then, you know, years down the road, you just find yourself just like knee deep in like just the community of it.
Mm.
And that's kind of how it was for me. Like it wasn't like academia.
Uh-huh.
It was just pure. It was the purest of childlike innocence.
Mm.
Like walked in. I remember the the first CrossFit gym I walked into.
Smash Gym CrossFit gym?
No, it was actually another gym in there's a place called One World.
Oh, but you would say Smash Gym is a CrossFit gym?
Oh yeah, we are. Yeah. Okay. So my actual CrossFit affiliation is CrossFit Hayward.
Okay.
But on Instagram, I'm Smash Gyms Hayward.
Gotcha.
Cool. But yeah. So the first gym I walked in that was complete CrossFit, I walked in for myself. I saw it on TV. I was like, oh, let me check it out. Let me check it out, right? Saw the CrossFit Games on TV. I saw the girls doing their thing, and I was like, what the? Like, this is, you know what I mean? I was like, damn. Looked online. I saw a gym in my area. It took me about 6 months to get in, but I went in there. And I'm going to tell you the funny part. I only found where the gym was located because I was picking up some pizza on the corner where the gym is located.
Yeah.
Just happened to drive down. I was like, oh, that's the spot. Like, I'm going to drive over there, right? So I went in, and I walked in, and I was like, in all of its grimy, pure, just people who love fitness, no luxury, just straight up, right. You know, just old barbell. I mean, just dungeon. Straight up, you know, just straight CrossFit love. I was like, God damn. You know what I mean? Yeah. I walked in, I was like, oh my God. And I'm going to tell you what's crazy. This is the funniest thing in the world. This is the truth. I walked in the door and I had two thoughts, like, from the bottom of my heart. My first thought was, oh man, I can get in shape here.
Mm.
And then my second thought was, wow, I could change this place.
Mm.
It's for real.
Where did that thought come from?
And I honestly have no idea.
What did you mean by change this place?
Like, I guess it was just one of those, like not that I could change that particular gym because it wasn't my gym, but I guess it was just like forward thinking. You know what I mean? Like, in a very, I know that should probably sound kind of corny, but when I walked in, I think it was like I put myself in the owner's place, like, damn, if this was my gym, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So I saw what it could do for me from my own physical results. And I just saw, like, I walked in the middle of a class.
Uh-huh.
And it was like the music was up. And I mean, the energy, it was hot and it was sweaty and it was humid. And nobody gave a fuck. Like they was in there working out. I was like, I walked in, I was like, oh shit. Like, the front desk guy was talking to me in my right ear, and I wasn't hearing like nothing he was saying. You know what I mean? Like, I was just like stuck to the floor, like, fuck. Like, men and women and their barbells are just like one big ass wave of energy. And I was like, yo, I could completely be here. And then my very next thought was, wow, if this was my place, I would do this.
You call it the vision.
And I would do that. You know what I mean? So it was crazy. It was crazy, man. So just kind of being a member there, you know, I learned a lot. When I first got there, they had four owners when I was there. Two were like mostly CrossFit, and two were like more like martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a coaching staff. They had, I think, maybe like 9 or 10 coaches on staff. But their coaches were, man, they were really good. They were really good. So it was like, you know, I think the base of me learning came from a good, you know, a good core of people. And so just being there, just on my own, man, I just started going to like all kind of seminars. I mean, just workshops, seminars, coaching, like you know, meet and greets, just on my own. Not even like telling the gym, but the gym inspired me to do a lot of shit because I was loving what was happening for me, like my body, my confidence. Like, I was changing so much. I was like, damn, this is crazy that this style of fitness, you know, can do this for you. You know, whatever. So, but yeah, man. So just over the years, like. The more I would gain as far as like knowledge, like the more trust I would get from just people. Like, damn, he knows a lot more. He's gaining more. He knows a lot more. But like, my message was never like, I never had a message that was like an arrogant asshole coach. So it was like, well, he can move well. He's fairly strong. He's gaining a lot more knowledge. And he's not an asshole.
Mm.
Like, that was big. You know what I mean? Some coaches know a lot of shit. Or some athletes can move really, really well. But they some fucking assholes. Right? So it's like your knowledge will take you so far.
Right.
And at some point, there's a breaking point where people are like, you know what? I'm good.
Uh-huh.
At some point, you know what I mean? So, yeah, man, just that childlike innocent state with me for like 4 years of me like learning about CrossFit.
Gotcha.
And just doing more. And so, yeah, man.
Was that through your, so you got started at 19, 24 Hour Fitness Vegas. And how old were you when you got started at that CrossFit gym?
Man, that's, man, crazy. I think I was like, shit, I was like 32.
So it's a nice while.
It's a while.
So it's a nice while before, wild. And then you were there 6 months?
Yeah, about, man, 6 months. You know, actually, I was there at that other spot. I was there for a couple of years.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So just like learning and just making mistakes and learning more and making mistakes and just things like that. And then I finally branched out to do my own thing. And
you know, how long did that take from 31 and 32 until what?
Man, doing my own thing was like a, I mean, if I can be honest, I mean, shit. I think I left the other gym maybe like 3 years ago. And as far as my heart is concerned, I mean, shit, I just recovered like recently.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I think, and when I say recovered, it's just, it really was, man, it's crazy. Like, it's like I had a dream, I had a vision, I spoke it into the air, and the universe is like, all right, here you go, motherfucker. Let's see how much you really want to be on your own.
Uh-huh.
Right? Here you go. So there was a lot of, man, there was just a lot of shit going on, man. I mean, I think for anyone that has a dream, that dream is big. If, man, you better expect a lot of setbacks.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. And if you don't have them, it's maybe it ain't your dream. Maybe you think it is, but maybe it's not love. Maybe it's lust. You know what I'm saying? But if it's love, oh, good luck to you. Hey, if it's love, I respect, because I know what you're about to go through, and I'm like, that must be a special person, because they got a lot of hills to climb. Like, uh-huh. If you really feel like, hey, you know what? I mean, for me, it was like, I walked in the door as a member, or a potential member, became a member, fell in love with the method, saw the results of the method, and then like on this like search for just more knowledge, going to like a bunch of different coaches, hiring people to be my coach just so I can learn more, you know, just going to different gyms, going to seminars, going to workshops, going to meet and greets, just reading shit. I mean, even on the internet, there's a lot of shit there for you to learn from, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then applying it to like real life, like real people,
right?
As you go, made a lot of mistakes.
And that's the difference. Don't mean to cut you off, but that's the difference between a lot of people, and from where even just watching you over these last less than 30 days.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that like to study, that likes to read, that likes to know.
Yeah, right.
Even listen to a lot of other podcasts, a lot of motivational speakers, or a lot of other coaches, and look at a lot of other people that might be in their field and doing things.
Right.
And they aspire to them from this like fan perspective.
Right.
I watched you, listen to you, converse with you, and you watch these things, read these things, look at these things differently. It's kind of like I've almost like found your filter. Like, you look at these things to be a practitioner.
Right.
How could this make me better? How could this make my community better?
Yeah.
How could this make the people that I serve? Like, that's your filter.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between a lot of people that would you say that love and lust thing?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That, like, you're looking at it from a perspective, not just as a consumer, but also as a practitioner. How could this make everything that I'm about
better? Yeah. How can I make it better?
That's big.
How can I make it better? So, but yeah, man, I mean, just, you know, like, you know, we were in the facility, like I had X amount of clientele and things like that. And I mean, we went from a place where that was like a fully functional, just, you know, health facility, like strength, cardio, conditioning, weightlifting, things like that. And so, man, we went from the facility to like, I mean, honestly, like zero, you know what I mean? And so it was like,
and what do you mean by that?
I mean, just shit, man. I mean, we went to like, I went to a U-Haul, you know what I mean? Went to a U-Haul. So I didn't have a warehouse to go to, but I mean, I wanted change. And then the people around me, because my energy just became different. So I was a bad person.
What do you mean by that?
You know what I mean? Because it was like, I wanted something different. The people around me in the gym, you know, they want something different as well. So we began like what used to be just all kind of like friendship and love just changed. A lot of it could just be, you know, I think like to look back, what I leave, I still would have left because my goal was different and just my heart, just it is what it is. But the person I was while I was there, I was real like humble and innocent in the beginning. Started getting kind of arrogant. Started getting kind of like, I think if it makes any sense at all, like the timeline of growth and success wasn't coming fast enough to me. And so like my attitude and my energy would change in the gym. You know what I mean? Like I'm still here. I'm still here. And so it was like, you know, everyone else was honestly was loving like the situation. Like, man, everyone's happy, everyone's in shape, everyone's this, everyone's that. But from afar, I just always saw things differently.
And so that made you feel like you wasn't growing enough or fast enough.
I was like
you knew that you seen more, wanted more.
Now it's funny because I mean like if you ask people in the situation, they would say, man, things here are going great. And I'm like, yeah, they are. It just isn't the plan. You know what I mean? So it was like, you know, the longer I was there, just my heart began to change. So I treated people differently. And it's like, man, what's up with Chris? Like, Chris is, So it came down to the point where it was like, hey, man, you know, before it get any worse, let's just separate. Okay, cool. I'll do it. You know, I'm out of here. You guys be good. They're like, yeah, you be good too. So, and I ended up going to like a U-Haul. So it's like, I went to the U-Haul for, like a year.
So when people hear U-Haul, I don't know if people know what you mean when you say U-Haul. Yeah, what do you mean?
Like a moving truck, like a U-Haul moving truck. Like, I had nowhere to go. So what I did was, when it was like official, like, hey, you're going to leave the facility tonight, and we are okay with you leaving tonight. And I'm like, yeah, okay, no big deal. I'll leave tonight. I'll be back tomorrow with my U-Haul to pick up all my shit. Right, that's exactly how it went down. Like, hey, we had it up to here with you. You had it up to here with us. Okay, fuck it. You gone. We know you gone. Boom. Right. So, yeah, man. So I went to. I called just everyone who was associated with me in fitness. Gave them a call. Said, hey, man, here's the deal. I won't be here anymore. You're more than welcome to stay here if you want. I'm cool. I get it. But. If you want to go with me, if you want to follow with me, I'm like, hey, I don't have, right now as we speak, which was the truth, I'm like, I don't have anywhere to go. Like, I don't have a warehouse. I don't have, like, a plan. But give me, like, a week. I'll give you a call back. Let's see what's up, right? So I went to City Hall, and I'm like, hey, you know, which they already knew who I was because I was a pretty popular trainer in the area. So I was like, I need a permit to be able to operate just at any, you know, government area or city hall area. So whether it be like a local park or some random parking lot, you know, whatever. As long as you know I am running classes on some property in the city and I'm not paying rent for it. You know what I'm saying? So they gave me a permit for like a year. And I mean, it worked, man. I mean, it was like, I think when I left the facility, I kept a full schedule. We went to a park, and so it was like my system was every Sunday, I would rearrange the inside of the U-Haul to fit what needed to come out immediately, like barbells and plates, stuff like that, based on the workouts. You know what I mean? And so, so it took about a good 2 weeks to like really figure out a system, you know what I mean? And it's based on a system. It's kind of like, my bad, give me 1 second, I just wipe my nose a little bit. Brother crying right now. No, but it took me about 2 weeks to kind of just figure out a system of like, the U-Haul, the travel with the U-Haul, the equipment in the U-Haul, things like that. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, when I left, man, I think it was I want to say like 75 people left with me.
Damn.
Yeah. So we were literally like in the U-Haul, at the park. I mean, we didn't even have bathrooms for a long time. I think it was maybe like at least 3 months, or maybe like 2 months, that we didn't have bathrooms at all.
So people just came out ready to go, and that,
man,
was
like legitimately, like this is the funniest shit, because we would have class, I would look up, and if someone was out like gone, I knew they just went home. I just knew it, you know what I mean? I'm like that was the shit. So when we first went to the park, it was crazy, man. It was like people would use the restroom in the bushes, men and women.
Man.
Yeah, so they were dedicated as a motherfucker, dude. Hey, like, so we, there are things that we laugh about today.
Right.
But quite honestly,
at the time, it was real.
It was like, wow.
You get in where you fit in, do what you got to do, you make it happen.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, man, so it's like a lot of things just were not coming to life. Like, with the city, permits, trying to find a warehouse, just trying to bring it all together. It just wasn't happening.
Let me pause you there before we move, because I think when we talk about being in the park and then your style of training, you host classes.
Yeah, we got classes.
Throughout the day. So it's not like, hey, you know, I'm just training a couple sessions a day.
Nah.
A couple sessions at the afternoon, like then I'm
people.
In the after, you know, then yeah. I'm in the evening, yeah. Got a couple sessions, then I'm good, I'm going home. So you have classes. You have a class schedule from morning. Yeah, early morning classes, right? 5 a.m. or something like that.
What I did with City Hall, I was like, depending on where I might go, as far as like a local park or some abandoned, you know, parking lot, I was like, what is the noise? Like, what's the deal with noise? And they were like, well, the BART runs really, really early.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's at 4 in the morning. You hear the BART horn, that's the loudest thing in the city. Mm-hmm. So that was like, well, chances are you're not gonna be loud in the BART.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So we good. So I said, all right. So I would get to the park like an hour early. I kind of had, by then, I had an idea of
what's
who,
an hour early?
Shit, like
what time?
Like 4:15, 4 a.m.
So we get to the park, 4 a.m., 4:15.
Yeah, and get ready.
To get ready for the day. Your first session, your first class is
5:30.
5:30 class.
Yeah. It'd be 30, 40 motherfuckers outside. So what I would do, I would get to the park, take my generator out, plug the generator into the U-Haul van. It was a gasoline generator.
Okay.
So I had a 200-foot extension cord. So what I would do is I would take the gasoline generator way like far away.
Mm-hmm.
So it did, like, the noise didn't bug us.
Okay.
But it would still do its job for us.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So I had a long extension cord, roll it on down, take the other half, bring it back for the lights.
Okay.
So it was like, it just worked out. You know what I'm saying? It just worked out. But so
5:30 a.m. class.
Yeah.
You get there 4 a.m. It's dark.
Dark.
You're setting up out of the U-Haul,
bringing
everything out, getting your generator ready.
Yeah.
And it's 30 people in the class.
Hey, showing up ready.
You end at 5:30. What time's your next class?
So at the time then, I had 5:30, I had 4:30 p.m., and then I had 5:30 a.m., 4:30 p.m., 6 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. So at the time I had just 4 classes, but each class had like 30 plus people.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So it was like I had a Monday, Wednesday, Friday boot camp, and I had a Tuesday, Thursday weightlifting.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So it was two different types of groups that would come out, and yeah, I mean, it just, honestly, man, like when I'm thinking about it right now, I'm shocked, because like a lot of the members, pretty much every member is like a professional of their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have their own businesses, professors, p- police officers, paramedics, you know, lawyers. I mean, like good people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, damn, they actually stuck with me that whole time.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And like people who know about quality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they stuck. So it's like, I think about the community aspect of just like fitness. And I'm like, that shit is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I know for a fact there was days where I just was not the best coach.
Mm-hmm.
I know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they still stuck around. I'm like, damn it, it's completely for each other. You know what I mean? Like they can even, like the support for each other, they can mask like whoever this coach is at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I was going through a lot of shit.
Mm.
It's like, man, you know, will I find a warehouse? I was embarrassed. I was kind of like, damn, what happened? Like such a turnaround in a year.
Mm.
And literally that turnaround was like this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, man. So I was just kind of like, damn. So, but we stuck it out, man. So we went from like a regular city park, like just on the street type park, and then we went into a community center.
Mm-hmm.
And but being in the community center, I mean, you're kind of at the mercy of their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So when they close, you close too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, well, that's tough to do. So had it been just
step
like
up. You had bathrooms, though, right?
And you know what? Major step up because we had bathrooms and we had air conditioning.
Man, what?
Major. So people loved it, but then, right. Like I said, I mean, they could close every holiday, every other Friday, blah 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 blah. So the members are like, man, like those are days where we love to work out the most.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I said, I get you. You know what I mean? But so yeah, man. I mean, honestly, I mean, we went through a few waves of just losing a lot of people, people coming back, people going to other gyms in the area. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was when I look back, it wasn't a tough time. It was a testing time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, for where we are today, and not that things are not grand today, but I'm in a position today where I can really be relevant. I can make myself relevant. I'm sorry, I can make my business relevant for the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
If I just, you know, keep my head down, stay quiet, stay humble, and just like I do now, just slowly pick away, chip away, chip away, chip away, try to make it better. You know, one piece of this, new equipment, you know, maybe one new coach here, a better coach there,
mm-hmm.
better programming here. I mean, just very little small detail. Like,
mm-hmm.
I've learned that it doesn't have to be like this big grand slam of a change all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just one base hit here,
mm-hmm.
one base hit there,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? One base hit. So it's like,
mm-hmm.
that was the one thing that I think, like I'm not as arrogant as I used to be. I'm not as loud. I used to be really loud in a way that was like, it turned people off.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like I wanted shit so bad and I wanted to force things so much that it was just like, people loved me because I had a great coaching talent. But to work with me used to be like, fuck, like, dude, I love this motherfucker to death, but I fucking hate this motherfucker to death too. You know what I mean? And so I think my struggle for that, like that year, and I mean, and even us being where we are today, I mean, the struggles still, it lingered for a while, but a lot of it was just me. Just I didn't want to let go. I'm like, hey, you know what? Just fuck it, let go. Just don't be prideful, and just take care of your people, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't even need to force it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be. You know, you don't have to be this. I mean, not that I was an asshole to people, but I'm a better person today. So I'm a better coach today,
mm-hmm.
because of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
good stuff.
Yeah.
So you now have your own
mm-hmm.
space, facility. How long have you been in the space?
I've been here now. I started off. I came to this space by subleasing from the previous owner.
So you left the recreation center and you came here?
Yeah, gotcha. So we left the recreational center, came here. Someone else owned it. And I mean, you know, we tried it that way for about a year or so. And it was good depending on where your dream is.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
What do you mean by that?
And so it's like, you know, the space that I was leasing and just the format of the gym, just the flow of the gym. You know, if you don't have a dream for 10, 20 years, you're cool with what you got.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But if you got a big, big dream and a big, big vision, then you're like, well, I got to make decisions today for 20 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
No different than someone who says, you know what, I want to retire when I'm 80 or I want to retire when I'm 60. They make money choices, better money choices when they're in their 20s,
mm-hmm.
not in their 40s.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I was like, we just found a way to make it work where, you know, I just bought the gym. I'm like, hey, you know, after a while, it didn't work. It didn't work for the members. I'm like, I don't know, man. You know, business-wise, I don't see a good future in the current situation.
Mm-hmm.
So worked out for me, worked out for him, for his life. Actually, I think it even worked more for his life at the time
because
he's doing bigger things. He's doing greater things right now
mm-hmm.
from what I see. So his love for that and my love for this at the time, they just kind of came together. And we made the decision to do what we did. So that's pretty much it, man. I mean, it's like simple stuff. I mean, if you ask the members who've been here since day one, they'll tell you, man, like, dude, like, holy shit, it was a up and down, up and down, up and down. But I think they appreciate it even more. I think the members respect me like, damn, this motherfucker did not give up at all. You know what I mean? Like I literally drove. Like, I did not even drive my regular car for, like, almost a full year. Like, I literally drove the U-Haul every fucking day. You know what I mean? So, all my equipment.
So I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get a U-Haul for a year?
Man, you know.
That's a fascinating. I'm thinking, like, so you rent a U-Haul, then there's mileage that you pay.
Right,
then it's a certain day fee.
Right. Man, I just went to those guys. Because at that time, I was just transparent. I'm like, hey, man, with anybody that is in a position of power that I wasn't in, I was like, hey, man, here's the deal. You know, I have this, I have that, blah, blah, blah. You know, and they were like, U-Haul was like, well, you know what? Just come see us, like, every 2 months. We'll do the math. Take it back out, leave it out. Yeah, so I went to those guys, like, on a Sunday. And I was like, hey, guys, here's the deal, you know. I'm a trainer, I got this many clients, blah, blah, blah. I do a program. I have nowhere to go. Here's I gave them like all of like my certs, my training certs, my insurance, like my training insurance, my CrossFit affiliation. Like I showed them all that I had. And I was like, hey, like I'm official as a trainer, right? And they were like, okay, well, it is what it is. Hmm. It was like, take the U-Haul out. Come see us every 2 months, we'll go from there. I was like, damn. So it was funny because it was like as soon as a window would begin like to get dark, a door would open.
Message.
You know what I'm saying? And that's big. Looked at that window like, oh my God, this window's closing. The window's closing. A little ass window's closing. And a big ass door would open up for me. And I would be like, God damn. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, all right, I'll be quieter. Right? So, yeah, but I had some nights, man. I had some days. I had some nights where I was just like, fuck. Like all these people, all these adults are trusting me to do right. And then it was
pressure.
Like, oh my, what? Bro, hey, listen, I'm already skinny and I lost super weight. I'm already skinny, right? It was like, man, I'm gonna look on Instagram or and I'm gonna see if I can find some old pictures of that time. You're gonna be like, damn, bro. Like, dude, I was like, it was crazy, man. So it was like, I was losing weight. I was crazy, crazy skinny. Then I was embarrassed to even come to class because of my own appearance. You know what I mean? So I was like, damn, I gotta go coach today. So the pressure of that, just being in that funk, it's like, fuck. But I mean, today I'm like, honestly, if I have to do it all over again, if I have to go through that shit all over again, I'll do it.
Yeah?
I do it.
Yeah. As long as you don't know it, you gotta do it. You'll figure out how to get through it, right?
I figured out.
Man, isn't it amazing how, like you said, man, I think that's a huge huge message. I know for me in my own journey, my own struggles and my own progress or process of progress, that very sentiment that you express is the same, man. Anytime that I had all this anxiety of trying to hold on to this window that was closing, and there was nothing I could do about it. It was just closing. And I'm watching it close instead of paying attention and looking around me and seeing the opportunities that was around. I was just watching the window close, and the more I watched it, the more anxiety I had, the more pressure I had, until I finally said, you know what, there ain't nothing I can do about it. And then at that point, the window closed and the door,
boom, wide open. Man, I'm talking about, I'm at the window, I'm talking about fingertips all bloody, but I'm like, don't close, smashing my fingers, right, don't close. I'm like, you know what, fuck it, boom, actually it closed, door opened up,
you
boom.
Gotta do it, man.
So
you gotta do it.
But yeah, man, I mean, that, you know, I think I can't compare my little, you know, 3 to 5 year journey to someone who's been to, like, you know, an actual, like, university for 5 or 6 years of their life learning about, like, fitness. But I would guarantee you that his journey and my journey, you put us in the jungle together, I'm gonna get back to fitness before he do. I'm gonna get back before he do. You know what I mean? Like, just to say that I got the same heart and the same love to still want to change people's lives the same way he would. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, I think
I would say it's even more. Because again, I opened this up about talking about being a practitioner.
Right.
You know, it might have not been the University of the State, but this is the University of Life, right? This is University of Life and fitness and, and really going through it. And this, and I'll be real with you, this type of education is a lot more valuable than even education university, right? Book knowledge is one thing, to know the how to cross the T's and dot the I's, but what you gotta learn with professional skills, when you got to learn with community service, when you got to learn how to build a community, when you got to learn how to talk with clients, when you got to, and I'll be really, let me be really transparent with all of our entrepreneurs out there. When you got to learn how to mask your embarrassment when you don't, when you're going through because you got to go to the next class. If it don't happen, you're not. If you don't do it, it's not happening.
Dude, let me tell
and
you
got to mask the embarrassment. And you got to mask the emotions.
Dude,
you got to mask. You got to mask the tears.
Hey, let me tell you. One time, you know how Facebook do the like the memory pictures.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look at us, look at us. And so we had an event at the gym. This was like in the middle, like the heart of me, like going through the whole, like, man, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? And doing our little small like gym events. And somebody was like, dang, I forget who it was, but I had a picture that day with a member, like super thin, like I'm like 20 pounds lighter than like what I am today, right? Like, and I'm thin right now. And so a member posted up on Instagram, like, we had a picture that day of us together. Then we had a picture of like 2 years prior when I was like 190. Like competing all the time, right? Just eating everything, and just like super lean. And she was like, "Oh my god, like, you know, like I'm still here. Like this is my 2 year anniversary, like something like that." And she posted both pics, like, "Oh, this was my first day. This is me now today." And it was like she was all like big and thick, and she had lost all that weight. She was all nice and lean, right? It was like, and I was like super thick, and I was like, "Oh my fucking god!" I was. Hey, let me tell you, I was like, why the fuck would she post that? I was so embarrassed. I just saw even in my eye, I saw that I was like worried. I saw it. And to myself, I was like, fuck. I'm like, man, look what I was just 2 years ago. Like I was competing like every 2 or 3 months and you know, I was eating really well and I was sleeping well. And then I saw like just that quick 2 year transformation of being like, being comfortable and being totally, I don't know shit. I don't know what's gonna happen tomorrow. You know what I mean? And I was just like, fuck. Like, I saw the picture, it popped up. She tagged me in it. And then what really got to my heart was that she had so many likes and comments. Mm. So I knew that even though nobody talked about it in public form, I know they were wondering. Mm-hmm. Like, damn, like, what happened to Crash? Like, what the fuck? Like, this month, like, he was all big and swole, and that's Chris, that's Coach Chris. Like, holy shit. Mm. So everybody's like, oh my God, girl, you look so great. You know, you've lost so much weight, you're looking great. Good job, good job, good job. And nobody commented on, like, my appearance, even though she had screen cap both. Mm-hmm. Screenshot or save both. But when I saw it, I was like, wow. I was like, look at the difference. Like, look like I was sick. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so it was like things like that. It really was a test of, like, man, how bad do you really want this shit? Because you can go get a regular job right now and just be living a regular life. Man, you know what I'm saying? Nobody's stopping you.
And ain't nothing wrong with it.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
But it wasn't you.
But it wasn't me.
Right? It wasn't you. And it's funny, too, because I know a lot of people. I think anybody naturally would think that and go through that process of thinking if they went through that. You know what I mean? They seen those pictures and screenshots. But I think a lot of people are, I think all of us are, there's a select few of people that's just negative as shit and will say something about anything.
Right.
But I think most people are into themselves, right? I heard the old saying that everybody's favorite radio station is WWIFM, what's in it for me, right? Everybody's paying attention to themselves, right? Mm-hmm. But I think when it comes to coaches, and I've seen this across the board just since I've been in fitness and health and strength over the last 3 years or so, that as long as you know how to produce a result.
Yeah, yeah.
People will, that is your certification.
That's it.
That is your degree. Yeah. That, and then when you put people skills along with that, and then you put some ambition behind that.
It's strong.
It's a different beast.
It's different.
It's a different beast. Yeah, man. So now you're at this place, at this space. You've had your own space for 2 years now?
It's been about officially mine. Like, I purchased it probably like a little over a year now.
This is a nice space. What's the square footage you think?
Like a little under 5,000.
So five? So listen, he went from just starting off to the park, to the rec center, to subleasing a space.
Hey, look, now the funny part is the spot that I was, like, the space that I was subleasing was like 800 square feet.
Out of the 5,000.
Yeah.
So, and you had a lot of members, too, coming over with you, right?
Fuck yeah, we did.
Right, so subleasing the space, had all these members, and then found a way to just keep charging through.
Just keep charging through
the freaking jungle. My man Jerry Clark has this. We talked about this before. Yeah. My man Jerry Clark has this analogy that he talks about being a rhino charging through the jungle when this type of ambition. Yeah. He says, easy to go be a cow. You just sit in the pasture, eat a little grass, you got your fist off Eric. But when you are ambitious and you have a big vision, it's like you're a rhino charging through the jungle. Just making your way through. You created your way. You're trailblazing. You don't know what's coming next, but you know it's coming, right? And then as you're going through all of these things, they call it Murphy Committee, right? From Murphy's Law. Anything that can go wrong, will go wrong. And he called it the committee. He said, and everything is going to happen. Murphy's going to send Murphy number one. Number two, your family and friends to talk about you. Think that things are not going well. He's going to send things that go wrong. He's going to send Murphy number three and four. It might be an entrepreneur. You might be in a tremendous amount of debt right now. The IRS might be after you. You know, you might have bills up the yin-yang. Number, all these different Murphy. You might fall in love with somebody that don't support your dream.
Yeah.
Don't support your vision. Right, and a lot of people end up going back to the cow pastures before that, right, and only find themselves unhappy and unsettled because even though it's safe over there, secure, you're a rhino, and you still got this big ass tusk,
right,
and you have this ambition, and you're supposed to charge, you're not supposed to stand still, right, and you finally come to this place where it's a swamp, where it's supposed to be just a place where it's supposed to end. You know what I mean? Ain't no way to get through it. And then you come to yourself. You find that window closed. You're building up to all this anxiety watching the window. And then you finally say, you know what? I'm just going to go through it.
Yeah.
And you charge through the swamp. You find yourself swimming when you didn't even know you could swim. Right? And then you get to the other side. And finally, you can see paradise.
You see a little bit. Yeah, you see a little bit of it.
And you start moving forward. And it gets a little bit bigger. And you move a little bit forward. And it gets a little bit bigger. But brother, I congratulate you for, you know, making it to that other side and starting to see it and starting to build it. You know what I mean? And I know this is not the end. I know you talked about having a 10-year vision and a 20-year vision for yourself, but I know that you have something big in mind. So what, as we get ready to close out, what is next?
Man, you know, I think,
one of the members just walked in, getting ready for our classes. Go ahead, what's next?
I think what's next that is a constant, or not what's next, but I believe like what is a constant that will carry you through. It's just like really finding like the best formula, like the best like member care. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like some things.
What's up, brother?
Some things are like the pinnacle, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? So it's like, mm-hmm. I figure, okay, you take care of members and everything below that is going to fall into play. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's funny because this is going to sound, it's going to sound kind of bad, but I hope they understand. So lesson to learn, like physical lesson to learn. Seeing it from other coaches as well. People who are successful have talked about it. So I used to, probably to a fault, I used to focus on taking care of like individual people, mm-hmm. which is hard to do. So many different like characters, personalities. Whereas now I'm like, you know what? Take care of the business, because taking care of the business takes care of them. Anyway, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So it's like, and it's a fine line when I say that, because mm-hmm. like I'm not saying fuck the people, because mm-hmm. the people are the business, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But it's like, it's hard, you know, when I first came in, our group was small, which is a crazy thing to say, because taking care of the individual people is why they stuck with me through the bullshit, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, man, like, dude, we trust Chris, we love Chris, like he would do anything for you. But I think the thing now is, how do you still take care of everyone without you yourself being spread thin to everyone? Mm-hmm. I remember there was a period, I think Rob might remember this too. There was a period where like a lot of members in the gym at one time was like, hey, I'm going through cancer, right? Mm-hmm. And so it like in every class, at least like two people or one person in every class was quietly going through their cancer shit. The gym didn't know, but I knew, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, about every individual. So it was like, even that was like heavy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You take on like everyone's, whatever they're going through, mm-hmm. like as gym members, you take it all on. Mm-hmm. And you're like, shit, that shit get heavy.
It's you why they're leaving.
You know what I mean?
And so they ain't got nothing to do with you.
It get heavy after a while. You know what I mean? So
I can see exactly what you're talking about. Just even when I cover for a class and somebody new comes in, my focus all of a sudden is like, I got to kind of take care of this person, this one person. Mm-hmm. And everybody else in the class is kind of
looking like, hey, what's up?
All right, you got 5 minutes. Yeah, every minute. You know what I mean? It's like, I feel like I kind of abandoned the rest of the class trying to focus on one person. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like they need it more.
So that's the thing. It's kind of like it's one of those things where it's like, well, do you like, even like with your children, you're like, hey, you know, do you like give them shit that make them happy and okay today, or do you just keep them on the track that they might not want to be on, but they'll see the bigger picture like in the long run? You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that should make any sense at all, but mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So, but that's the thing. So for me, just growing in business, I'm like, well, maybe I cannot physically service every individual member, but for the business, I can pick the best coach. So now we got two of me around here, or three of me around here. You know what I mean? So it's like something like that. So it's like, okay, well, you know, again, I can't reach every. I mean, we got, you know, just a lot of people now compared to what we had in the beginning, right? A lot of new personalities.
Culture.
Yeah, so much culture now, right?
So diverse. Man, it's
so it's like, well, from a business perspective now, it's like, okay, you cannot do everything. So just find a way to take care of the business. The business needs the best coaches. Mm-hmm. The business needs the best equipment. The business needs the best workout programming. As long as you take care of all of that, the members will be like, hey, we still trust his word. You know what I mean? So things like that. So for me, as long as members are in the door, the number one thing now is, well, do your absolute best to always take care of the care for the members, and the rest will just, it'll fall where it's supposed to fall. You know what I mean? Like, you'll always have income, you'll always have money. And when I say income, I don't mean like to go piss off. I mean, you'll always have income to do things with the gym. One thing that I see for gyms that kind of fall away, they don't have money to buy shit for the gym. And that shit get old. Barbells get old. You know what I mean? When that shit start getting old, members be like, well, they doing the math in their head. Like, we know how much we pay a month. We know you got X amount of members. We ain't seeing no money coming back to the gym, though. Like, what's up? You know what I mean? So that's the biggest thing, man. Just trying my best to just keep the quality high in any situation. You know what I mean?
I don't think so much that our equipment. Oh, really,
and my man that you hear co-signing over here is my man Rob, yeah?
I'm sorry, it's just someone.
We're shooting the podcast.
Oh,
so,
I'm sorry.
Oh, you good? So you've been with Chris for how long?
5 years.
Five years. So everything that you've heard, we've literally been shooting the podcast for 52 minutes. So we've gone from the story of the beginning all the way up until now,
Rob's
right?
He's seen all that.
So in 5 years, my man Rob has seen everything that we just talked about. And it's proof and evidence. So let me ask you this, man. Why did you stay?
You know, I can say
transparently, just be real as you can. Authentic.
To be totally honest, it's because there's no monotony. I never felt a workout twice. I've always had a different workout. I don't feel, every time I come in, I feel that there's a new challenge. And I live for a challenge, you know. I mean, I really do. You know, I cannot live on monotony. You know, no such thing as leg day. There's no such thing as arm day. You know what I mean? It's time to go. It's time to go to work every day. Go to work. You know. And so it's always something new, and I like the way that Chris thinks about his workouts. He doesn't just make something up. I mean, he actually thinks about it, and plans it out a month or two in advance. So he's got a plan. You know, and I've seen the difference. I've gone from 265 pounds.
Next question, what's the result?
About 35 to 40% body fat, down to 8% body fat.
Hell yeah.
At 180 pounds.
Damn. That shit was crazy when Rob took his test and showed us the new test, like, yo, look at my body fat, look at my results. The gym was like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, damn, like, Rob is doing it. So,
yeah, that's crazy, man. Crazy. Cool, man. Well, we definitely appreciate you. We got to get ready for these sessions. It's about to start.
Yeah,
but, man, absolutely appreciate you joining for the podcast, for the audio experience, Beast Talks audio experience. My man Rob definitely appreciates you coming in and just co-signing, making sure he wasn't lying about the shit he was talking about. All good, man. It was supposed to happen. Cool, man. Leave it off, man. Last question for both of you guys, man. You know, one of the things that we want to shoot off is we talk about creating culture, right? And I sincerely believe that if you take care of the culture will take care of everything else that you need, right? Whether it be the family, whether it be the business, whatever it is. What are you most, the question is, what do you most appreciate?
Like, we create this culture of appreciation and gratitude, right? Right now, in the present moment, in life, and everything that, you know, you talked about, but right now, in the present moment, what are you most grateful for?
Man, for me, right now, I'm most grateful just, like, my very uncommon health. Shit's uncommon. Like, even when I went, like, last week when I went to get my test done, they were like, God damn, like, you know what I mean? Like, even, like my bone density. She's like, dude, for across America, your percentages, like, I was above even the, like, above. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think, like, for my age range, the score was, like, 1.5 to, like, 2 or 2.5. And mine was like 2.9. Like, you know, so I'll show you what the results were on paper, but just in general, I think I'm pretty happy about that. Like, so like, I know we laugh every now and then, me, Rob, and some other members will laugh, but it's like, I don't always train, like, for like, it's local stuff, but I don't always train. But I'll sign up for a comp and still do okay.
Like, you know, last week, signed up, right? Won the, you know, damn, I mean? Competition, had never competed in a strongman,
right,
before.
You know, so it's like, yeah. So I mean, to me, that's a mixture of, you know, genetics and health. Probably more importantly, just a lifestyle that I didn't have years ago. Like, I never partied, you know, never drank, never done any drug at all. I never smoked weed, never done no pills. Like, I've never done anything. I mean, and honestly, even like today, like, my life is as boring as it can be. Like, I don't have no young man stress, no crazy bunch of girlfriends, no pregnancy scares. Like, I don't have none of that shit, right? So I think my body's just like paying me back. Like, shit, like, you know, I feel strong, you know what I mean? I can run fast. I mean, I can do all the things that men my age probably just can't fucking do sometimes, or can't do as well as they want to. I never feel achy. I never feel sore. I never have any injuries. You know what I mean? And I don't know. So to me, just being, I mean, maybe it's a gift, like, all these years, me pushing everyone else to be healthy. Like, my payment was, hey, man, like, you will be straight. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know. But yeah, if I got to be grateful right now, well, I am grateful. It's just me just being, like, super, super healthy. I mean, I'll take like 2 months off and not even lose like much in numbers. You know what I mean? And so that's just fucking unheard of, I think. You know what I mean? So I feel good about that.
I say I'm pretty much the same way. I mean, I'm pretty healthy about where I'm at right now. I'm the opposite of Chris. I did everything. I drank and I partied. You know, right, I mean, right. I did all that, and I've been clean and sober for 13 years.
Congratulations.
And, you know, I mean, I had to go to the school of hard knocks, had to get beaten out of me, but, you know, I learned. And, you know, I survived it. And so, you know, I'm thankful, you know, that I can keep pushing those boundaries, and I haven't found the end of it yet.
Yeah.
I keep getting stronger. I keep getting faster. At 50.
Wow. Good stuff.
That's major.
What are you most grateful for right now in life?
That's what I'd say. Right now is my health and the way. I'm not achy. I'm a roofer. My job is hard. I've been all week shoveling rock on, you know, in Milpitas, where it's been 120 on the roof. And you know, I'm up there with 20, 30 year old kids, man, and I'm going, hurry up, come on, let's go. I'm dusty, dirty, sweaty, and tired too. Let's go.
Let's go.
You know, and at the end of the day, they're going, how come you can keep going? And so I tell them, man, I go to the gym every day. My 1 hour a day makes 8 hours a day easy.
My 1 hour a day, that's the message. My 1 hour a day makes 8 hours a day easy.
That's crazy.
Message. All right, well, gentlemen, definitely appreciate you guys for joining me on the podcast. It's been your boy, Big Tommy Burns, and we will see you on the next episode of Beast Talks, the audio experience. Peace from the Beast.